Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for September the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Yes, indeed, the checks and balances are vital. We need to insist on them as we, the people, who delegated authority to certain branches of government intentionally to divide power. That is the peaceful solution we have at our fingertips. We absolutely believe in the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. It's the blueprint for liberty, folks. We also are convinced that we need to reject revolution and stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. From star-studded guest to star-studded guest, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Pratt, discussions of all things liberty. Welcome back, sir.
Well, good to be with you, Sam. It's always been a pleasure, starting when I was with Gun Owners of America and coming into today. There's just never been a lack of topics that really need to be discussed openly and in public.
Roger that. Here's one for you that I find interesting. The FBI literally has turned criminal. Number one, they breached Mar-a-Lago without authority and without evidence. Now you can say, well, wait a minute, they have evidence that's just been redacted. No. If you study the Bill of Rights, they have to clearly articulate their probable cause. Trump has the right to face his accusers, not just get a raid with guns. They say, well, it wasn't a raid. It was illegal, lawful. They obtained a warrant. My response is, but you've got to show with specificity, is that the word? With specifics about what you're looking for, what you're doing, why you're there, what you intend to get. You need to demonstrate probable cause. None of that has been done. Now, that's one thing about the raid on Mar-a-Lago, Larry, but we just heard from that the FBI now is using secret forms to deprive people of their gun rights, people literally signing their gun rights away. Now, listen. And then we now find out that, there's a lady who was on with Tucker Carlson. And right after Joe Biden gave his divisive speech, this lady literally got a visit from the FBI. And the FBI basically said, hey, we're here, Lisa Gallagher, because we got an informant who
anonymously
claimed that you were at the Capitol. Well, that's a lie. They have footage of everybody that was at the Capitol. They have 1,400 plus hours of video. They know she wasn't at the Capitol.
Yeah, do your homework.
They don't have an informant and they're lying, or they have an informant that lied. Either way, see, they visited her. She doesn't get to face her accuser. Neither does Donald. And now these gun owners are losing their right to keep and bear arms. The FBI has literally turned criminal, sir.
They're acting like the Stasi, the secret police of communist countries. They're totally acting as an arm of a political party, which happens to control the government and the state at this time. So one of the things that comes to mind when we think of something as radically unconstitutional as the FBI and their current behavior is what can be done. Well, one thing that has been in my mind for quite some time since this news was breaking about their rogue behavior, it's follow the money, cut the money. If their budget were, well, ideally eliminated, but I'm not sure how many people are ready for that, although the FBI has never been a constitutional police agency because police powers were never, through our Constitution, placed with the national government. It's always been a state and local power. But at a minimum, their budget should be radically slashed. And many of their agents would obviously have to be given their summary settlement packages and sent down the road. That's the only thing I can – they're not doing anything that helps you and me to protect us from criminals. They are the criminals.
Now, here's the problem that I'm having. The Republicans that are not deep state Republicans virtually have zero power, Larry. And I'm having a problem with this because I get an email from Rand Paul. You know, and I really like Rand. I don't like to attack him. I think he does a lot of good. I really do. But you know what? This latest email, I just can't take. So here's what it is. Senator Rand Paul emails me. He's begging for money. Because, of course, you know the midterms are on us. But here's the problem. I'm not accepting what he's saying. He's half lying to me. And here it is. Senator Rand Paul, Sam, this is horrible. The national debt is about to hit $31 trillion. The federal government is borrowing and spending money at an alarming rate. Well, that's all true. He's right about that. $31 trillion is a shocking number, Sam, and it's causing historic inflation that the Biden administration is completely incapable of controlling. If Democrats, here's where the lie is, if Democrats manage to hold on to power this November, it's going to bankrupt America for generations to come. Just this week, new inflation reports came out showing inflation is soaring, and Biden can't do anything to stop it or even slow it down. Everyday life is becoming more and more unaffordable for the average American. The economy is grinding to a halt. A reasonable and responsible president would take this opportunity to cut back spending and put our fiscal house in order. And then Sam, send me money, send me money, send me money. Now, I think everything that he said financially is factual. But yes, where the lie starts, Larry, is this. If I put Republicans in place tomorrow, they've been running up spending just as bad as the Democrats have. Most Republicans went against Rand Paul's penny plan. Okay. Rand Paul has been one of the very few to stand up against the Federal Reserve. He wants to audit and end it. Good for him. He's right. He wants the penny plan to start reducing spending. He's right. But even his Republican colleagues went against him en masse. Nobody really supported him. Nobody. Maybe one or two or three token votes when they knew that they would lose. So they wanted to get on record as a on Rand's side idea. But the lie is that you would get a Republican president in place that would reduce spending. Donald didn't reduce any spending. He spent us into oblivion, just like Barack before him and just like Biden after him. There's no sea change even when the Republicans are in office. And Rand, of all people, should know this. But he's somehow kind of shilling that, man, if we get the Republicans in November, somehow they're going to rein in spending? I haven't seen it. Well, They've been just as guilty of the $31 trillion as anybody else.
And reining in spending, Larry, is certainly a worthy target. But let's talk about some of the things that, before we start talking about global large cuts, which I'm for, let's talk about cutting massively from the FBI, from some of the other police agencies that have no constitutional warrant and who are terrorizing the American people. The Democrats are masters at projection. When they talk about their opponents being terrorists, what they're really saying is, we've been terrorizing you six ways from Sunday, and we're trying to pin the blame on the other party. And the other party seems to have laryngitis, and that's where I want to second your motion. Rand Paul is absolutely right. We need to cut massive amounts of money. But the thing that is turning this country into a dictatorship goes beyond, way beyond the massive amounts of money that are being taken from the American people and wasted in Washington and used for terrorist purposes. We're not talking about the out of control government, the unconstitutional government, and we're not demanding from our Republican representatives. I'm here in North Carolina now, and I've been bugging my local congressman. What are you doing right now? What motions are you carrying in Congress? What efforts are you making to put these cuts into effect, or at least make it necessary for a vote to be taken, a recorded vote, so that they're on the record and they can be held thereby accountable in the next election?
Now, I don't know why Rand would email me this, though. I get his penny plan. I get his point. He's spot on everything he says, except for this idea that if I send him money and I send a bunch of other Republican money, that somehow the Republicans will get a grip on spending. That's just proven historically to be untrue, Larry. It's not true.
Yeah, the Democrats, of course, are all for spending. And the Republican leadership might as well be, kidnapped person who becomes captive in their thinking to their captor. That seems to be the problem with many of the Republicans. They're almost as if they're carrying out orders like the Stepford Wives.
All right, hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Larry Pratt and Sam Bushman continue to break this down just for you. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Callforcivility.com.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Larry Pratt, formerly of Gun Owners of America, now standing for the sacred cause of liberty on his own time. Ladies and gentlemen, look, I don't mean to be offensive about this, and I love Rand Paul. I don't think he's as good as his father, Ron, but he's certainly a good second, that's for sure. But the problem that I have is, you know what? Rand doesn't seem to be really completely honest. He makes me believe that if I elect the Republicans that it will reduce spending. I didn't see any reduced spending in the 94 revolution when Newt Gingrich was in charge. That was an epic failure. We didn't slow down or stop spending really then. At the Donald Trump era, we didn't stop or slow down spending. Listen to this headline to make the point. The SBA, that's the Small Business Administration, they say may have inadvertently sent over $1 billion $1 million in COVID-19 relief to individuals in foreign countries. Okay? You got massive fraud in the program, and it was elevated because of the history of fraud originating from national and international, transnational, if you will, crime organizations that have stolen funds from U.S. programs in the past. So look, we got defrauded out of well over $1 billion by people who shouldn't have got COVID money, who got it. But look, they got it because they have crime syndicates in place and have done it in the past, and they're doing it again. The federal government's response to COVID was panicked and not thought out. Okay, there's an economics expert. Let's see, his name is E.J. Anthony, I think is how you say his name. E.J. Anthony, he's an economic fellow at the Heritage Foundation's Center for Data Analysis. He told the Daily Caller, the careless shotgun approach to dispersing unneeded aid was an invitation for fraud, both at home and abroad. Okay, this is all under the Donald, okay? And we literally let bad actors, criminal organizations, who have set up their organizations to do this, they've done it in the past, and they did it again under Donald's watch. They did it again under the Republican control of what? The courts, the House, the Senate, and the presidency? They promised to abolish Obamacare. They voted a gazillion times in favor of it when they had no control. But the second they got control, they jettisoned that idea. I've got more. But I don't think electing the Republicans is the answer. And Rand's trying to get me to put in money to do just that. Shame on Rand. What do you say, Larry? Am I too hard on him?
No, I don't think that at all. And I think this talk about global cuts and so forth, that's good. And I do support that, as I was saying. But I think what we need to do, if even politically thinking, to energize the Republican base, as well as proper targeting, is to go after specific problems that need to be addressed and cut out in the federal government, in the federal budget. And that's why I think it would be helpful to make a pinata out of the FBI. They've done so many terrible things, and they can be pointed to, and you can interview surviving victims, and you can go to the gravestones of those that didn't survive their misdeeds. The FBI is a sort of a representative of all that is wrong in the federal government. Uncontrolled, unsupervised programs and spending that are literally enabling the federal government to become the enemy of the American people.
And is anybody really pushing to abolish the criminal organization that's unconstitutional? See, I don't hear anybody really on the national stage saying shut it down. Yeah, there's guys like me saying it, but is anybody on the national stage with any quote ability to make a change saying this? And I don't know of one.
And I think it's up to us to do what we're doing right now and to enlist others who think like us and who have printing presses and radio access to be pushing this idea that let's get specific about controlling the excesses and the dangers in the federal government. Let's go after the FBI. They've done so many things that immediately, once people are confronted with them, bring a, oh, yeah, we got to do something about that kind of response. That's something that I don't even hear coming from some of the more likely members of the Congress, such as Lauren Boebert or Josh Hawley, the House and the Senate, respectively. These are people that have the guts to do it, but they just don't seem to have focused, that I'm aware of, on this kind of specific targeting of problems and spending at the federal level.
So I appreciate some of the things that some Republicans do. I'm not usually pleased with Lindsey Graham, but you know what? South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham introduces an updated version of the Protecting Pain-Capable Unborn Children from Late-Term Abortions Act, which would prohibit abortions after 15 weeks. Now, that's been revised because Graham originally introduced the bill, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, alongside 45 other Republicans, they would say Senate Republicans, back in January 2021. Now, I appreciate that. I think that's great for him to do so. But the problem is Democrats, they say, are claiming that Lindsey Graham's abortion ban is extreme. But polls say otherwise. Well, there's Republicans that are now distancing themselves from this as well. Okay? The Republicans in mass are promoting abortion blatantly now. They were against abortion when they thought it was, you know, made sense to do so. Now they're kind of taking that off their websites and distancing themselves from this. The Republicans end up being the problem. What support is Lindsey going to get?
And the one of the answers to those cuts are extreme is that, let's hang on just a minute. Killing a baby is extreme. Murder is extreme. When are we going to put a stop to the government financing the murder of unborn children? That seems to be the way we need to be putting this issue. This is well beyond a spending measure, and this is in terms of protecting life. That's supposed to be one of the few basic functions of any government.
Snuffing out a life, ladies and gentlemen, is extreme. There's no doubt about it. But look, how much Republican support can a Lindsey Graham even get on this issue? I don't know that he could get support to even pass it, even if we had a House, a Senate, a president, and the courts all supposedly pro-life. I don't know that we'd get it passed. They had control when Donald Trump was the president. Donald Trump begged them to bring him a bill, right?
And they
never did.
They looked out the window. They sat on their hands, and they never brought him anything. So Trump was, in his defense, and I share your concerns about his failures, but he didn't have the cooperation of Republicans in the Congress that do talk a good game, and they've just not stood up and called for these changes. Even if they can't get the vote, even if they're in the minority barely, as they are in the House of Representatives or in the Senate right now, they can be forcing votes. They can be calling out the blood-soaked hands of the honorable gentleman or gentle lady from such and such a state. That is still something they can be doing. They need to be really playing hardball. The Democrats do it all the time. And the Republicans say, well, we shouldn't be doing that. That's not nice. Well, you know what? That's not been working. And a lot of babies are dying because Republicans are playing nice.
Ladies and gentlemen, what do we do about this? You know, you look at this and you just go, man, it almost makes you feel like there's no hope. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that there's no hope. But it almost makes you feel like there's no hope when you see this stuff, Larry. And sadly, it seems like that's what the deep state wants us to feel.
And the answer in part is for us to say, well, I'm one of the voters in your district, and I am very unhappy about what's going on in the Congress. And I want you to tell me, Mr. and Mrs. Congressman, House of Representatives, Senator, what are you doing?
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Larry Pratt on your radio.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hey, USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
As inflation numbers Tuesday shocked investors on Wall Street, President Biden took a victory lap at the White House for the Inflation Reduction Act.
And all our distinguished guests, CEOs, activists, thank you for joining us. And what a great day. Exactly 4 weeks ago today, I signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law, a single most important legislation passed in the Congress to combat inflation.
76-year-old Ken Starr, a former federal appellate judge and prominent attorney whose criminal investigation of Democrat President Clinton led to his impeachment, has died. Starr died at a hospital Tuesday of complications from surgery. Starr had been hospitalized in an intensive care unit in Houston, Texas, for about 4 months. A teenage human trafficking victim who stabbed her accused rapist to death was ordered to pay $150,000 restitution to the pimp's family and sentenced to 5 years of closely supervised probation by a judge in Iowa on Tuesday. Piper Lewis was a 15-year-old runaway when she stabbed her 37-year-old abuser, Zachary Brooks, in a Des Moines apartment back in June of 2020. The Department of Justice announced three men were found guilty of felony and misdemeanor charges related to January 6. The DOJ added they participated in heave-hoes against a police line using riot shields stolen from the Capitol Police. Not a single arrest has been made in more than a dozen attacks on pro-life organizations across the country, claimed by left-wing pro-abortion group Jane's Revenge. Jane's Revenge had claimed responsibility for at least 18 arson and vandalism attacks on crisis pregnancy centers. Zero arrests by the FBI or Department of Justice. USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Larry Pratt on your radio. We're talking about pro-life. And I don't think, for the most part, the Republicans are genuine in pro-life. We're talking about the reduction in spending. We're spending ourselves into oblivion. Rand Paul is spot on that reality check. But, folks, the federal government, I don't believe, is willing to do any good. The federal government response to COVID was send out a gazillion dollars and get ripped off. And now we, the people, and or our children are going to be forced to pay for it. Now, we talked about SC South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham putting together this pro-life bill. All right, prohibit abortions after 15 weeks. It sounds great, but they say Democrats claim that Lindsey's abortion ban's extreme. But I believe the Republicans think the same thing. So when President Trump was president, we had literally control of everything. The House, the Senate, the White House, and the courts. Nothing got done. Donald called for it publicly. Here's soundbite one. Go ahead, Cam, 603.
First put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
He literally talks about God. He literally commends the pro-life movement in every way possible. He literally says, here's what I've done within my authority and my power. He says, House, get on it. I commend you. Senate, get it done. I'll sign it. Now, some might debate the sincerity of a Donald on this, but why didn't our House and Senate that were controlled by the Republicans send him a bill to sign and see if he reneged and he wouldn't sign it or he would? Well, we never even got there because the Republicans didn't even do it. What more do you want when you got a friendly court, a friendly president, a friendly House, a friendly Senate? The only thing you can possibly say is, well, we didn't have a majority. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't take a majority. Yeah, their internal rules say that. It takes a 60% majority. But you can change those rules anytime. If there's ever a time to change that rule, it's to promote pro-life. What's the whole purpose of government? To protect life, liberty, and property. Donald gave them this on a platter, and they rejected it. Here's the second soundbite from President Trump. Then we'll go straight to Larry Pratt for his breakdown assessment. Here's Donald Trump the second time.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
Larry, we have never had a president in my lifetime, and I'm 55 years old. We have never had a president in my lifetime stand on pro-life like that and challenge Congress to do something. The Republican-controlled Congress literally did nothing, sir.
Well, I think that tells us a lot about the leadership. They've always been, as long as I've been working with the Congress, very wobbly. And, of course, the problem is that the seniority system produces a bunch of go-along-to-get-along type of folks, and they are voted in by the majority of the Republican caucus. So the problem is not just a full handful of people. It's the problem is throughout the most of the Republican caucus. And so we've got to realize that a Republican majority is not a pro-life majority. It's not a pro-Second Amendment majority. They're not willing to go to the mat for some of these issues that they know sound good when they campaign, but they're not going to spend political capital on it. And I know that when I was in the legislature in Virginia, I was having a discussion on a tax issue where the governor had campaigned as that I and most of the Republican caucus on no new taxes. And within a month, what was the first thing the governor did? He proposed a new tax. And we were in a caucus meeting, and I complained to a colleague, a liberal Republican from a nearby city, that we were going against what we had all campaigned on. I said, I'll vote for you with you guys if you can explain to me how we can explain to our voters why we're going back on what we said we would do. And he gave me an eye roll and said, look, that was during the campaign. Now we're governing. And I think that pretty much it tells you how so many politicians think, at whatever level of government, it's one thing to engage in campaign rhetoric. It's quite another thing to actually produce, because they know they're going to get hit by the media, by people in their caucus, by faceless bureaucrats that are the tools of big money interests of one sort and another. And so there's a lot of forces at play, and they're not our friends. Au contraire. They're definitely trying to impose their will at our expense.
Now, we as Christians know marriage is defined as between one man and one woman, legally and lawfully married. The Lord put Adam and Eve together, not Adam and Steve, to make the point, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? Now they're really attacking Clarence Thomas, trying to kick him off the courts because he had the audacity after Roe versus Wade. And we had a win there. That's good, except for chemical abortions might just replace the murder on demand. They might just move to chemical abortions via pills shipped across state and international lines. Nevertheless, they won Roe versus Wade. It's a good start. But now they're attacking Clarence Thomas because Clarence Thomas said, hey, we might be able to overturn the same-sex lie about marriage forced down the throats of the American people. But now more than 400 Republican leaders signed a letter urging the Senate to enshrine same-sex marriage into federal law. The current and former Republican leaders released a, quote, public petition in support of the, quote, Respect for Marriage Act, a bill that would codify the right to same-sex marriages, okay?
Now,
recognized in this, in this quick 2015 Supreme Court decision, Alberta Fell, I think, versus Hodges or whatever. They're literally saying, let's codify this into law. They say this: as Republicans and conservatives, we believe strong families and lasting relationships strengthen communities and civil marriages is a fundamental freedom central to individual liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And they believe that all Americans should be able to get married. Now you have Republicans literally quadrupling down to promote and defend and codify into law same-sex marriage.
Larry? One way to perhaps, with the tongue in cheek, although you got to be careful when we're talking about these matters with politicians, but would be to ask them if they would be willing to sign on to the Sodom and Gomorrah Establishment Act, because that's really what they're doing when they're pushing these kinds of measures, when they're actually publicly advocating for them. And it seems to me that they're telling believers across the country, we don't really care what you think. Why don't you just go shut up?
Their letter literally declares that 71% of Americans believe that anybody should be able to marry anybody. I challenge that poll. It all depends on how you word it and what you say and what you pull for. It's manipulation. It's propaganda at the highest levels, promoted by over 400 Republican leaders. Hang tight, folks.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
The CDC just reported that 7,218 people died after receiving a COVID-19 shot. Granted, vaccines are a complicated concoction of chemicals, and as with any medical experiment, it can take a long time to get it right. This is not the first time people have been hurt when vaccinated. What is different this time, and so concerning, is the reaction to these death numbers. Let me explain. In 1976, the government vaccinated 45 million people for swine flu. A total of 53 people died after getting that shot, and the U.S. government immediately halted the vaccination program. Why? Because authorities decided it was too much of a risk. Why would they halt the program back then for 53 deaths, but now, with over 7,000 deaths, they are using every method possible to force it on you? In fact, now the health authorities are using their power to silence anyone who dares to question the COVID vaccination. Why? Why is anyone that questions COVID silenced? Even doctors are being censored. What's up with that?
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor.
VoteBundy.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use continues on your favorite hard-hitting talk station. Larry Pratt with me. We're talking about this abortion. We're talking about same-sex marriage. The Republicans seem to be blatantly for it all, Larry.
They either are for it or they don't have the backbone to comply with, to pursue their campaign rhetoric. Because I think many more than what we're talking about that are actually willing to go along with this legislation or this resolution, many more campaigned against it. And you talk to them privately, and they're likely to say, oh, yeah, this is really a concerning direction that we're moving in, and I just wish there was something I could do about it. Well, of course, there is. That's why they were elected. At least that's why we many of us voters wanted to vote for them, was because they said they would be willing to go and fight for it. Well, they are showing by their action that they're not willing to fight. And one of the things that just on my local level I've been doing is challenging my local congressman, what legislation have you introduced? What have you been promoting? What are you willing to do to promote these issues that we agree on? It's not that I'm having to deal with a radical liberal Democrat congressman. It's a conservative Republican.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. This is a serious issue, and I don't mean just to attack Republicans. Okay, what I mean to do is really get you all to understand the deep state is against us all, and they may wear a Republican uniform, they may wear a Democrat uniform. I don't care. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, it's us against the deep state. And a lot of these people are lying to you about their real intentions. They want you to believe that somehow they believe in liberty. But the truth is, folks, when push comes to shove, they don't really back the liberty they've promised you they do. You got to watch how they vote. You got to watch what they stand for. You got to watch what they believe in, what they do, what they spend their time on. We have got to be eternally vigilant or we're going to lose it. All right. They say that they stand with a 71% of Americans, who include a majority of Republican registered voters, that they want the right to marriage for all. To me, it is not a marriage when a man supposedly makes a contract with a man. Marriage is God-ordained and defined as between a man and a woman legally and lawfully married. This idea that we can marry two men and marry two women is what is now leading to the transgender idea, which means you can just identify at whatever gender you want to. Of course, you better not do that with race or you're a racist. But whatever gender you want, and the Republicans are fine with that. Because remember what happens is the Democrats lead the way, pushing left, radical left. The Republicans oftentimes are about 10, 20 years behind. So remember the don't ask, don't tell policy, Larry Pratt. the Democrats said, let's have Don't Ask, Don't Tell about gays in the military. And the Republicans rioted and said, oh, no, we can't have that. That'll be disaster. Well, they got it, and they pushed for it, and they went. 20 years later, they said, hey, let's come out as openly gay and lesbian and promote our transgender ideology. And then the Republicans said, oh, no, we need to stick with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. By golly, that's the line in the sand, don't you know? Now you've got Democrats pushing and passing, forcing, even under Republican watch in many cases, this idea that males can marry males and females can marry females, same-sex marriage. And the Republicans rioted. Now they've got over 400-plus of them literally doubling down to not only defend and not defend against, but to literally promote same-sex marriage.
This
is beyond our imagination. We're seeing their true colors, Larry.
Yeah, and it's the story of the Republican way in so many issues across the board. They talk a good game. Then the Democrats come and push a piece of legislation. The Republicans don't stand up and say, look, if this gets enacted, these are the kinds of things that we see from other places that have already enacted such measures. This is what's going to happen. This is how people are going to suffer. This is how people are going to die because of this legislation that's being promoted. And I think if we start putting caskets in front of these guys, and sick people and people that have lost loved ones, families that no longer have fathers that are going to work and bringing home the bacon for them, and bringing it home in those kinds of ways, I think we're going to be more effective. But the Republicans are nice people, and they are. But the problem is nice people can also fight. And the problem is Republicans think that being nice means they shouldn't fight. And that's where they are so terribly wrong. And that's the question that needs to be asked our local representatives at whatever level of government. We should be asking them, what are you actually willing to do to fight? Even if you're not guaranteed a victory, and because that's where a lot of them are reluctant to go out and do battle. Well, show me how I can win will be their likely first response. And that's not what we're asking them. We're asking them to go and fight. The Democrats didn't win at the beginning. They wore the Republicans down. And now the Democrats are much further along in the pursuit of their agenda because they were willing to be rebuffed and to take losses in the beginning because they know that that's how the process works. But you establish what it is that you want people to understand and you make your case and you're willing to stand and fight for it. And that begins to have an impact in the public arena. The Democrats understand that dynamic. Most of the Republicans do not.
The Republicans that seem to care for liberty do not. The deep state Republicans agree and focus on and work with the Democrats for that very focus you're mentioning. Now, Ron Paul just emailed us a warning. He says this, passage of the Disclose Act would force organizations like Campaign for Liberty to publicize information on our supporters. So the Disclose Act is this idea that we're going to disclose, you know, all the members of an organization that the government can have transparency into organizations. Ron Paul wisely warning, hey, don't let that happen because it'll be disaster. They'll shut us down. It reminds me of the election campaign laws. There's rules that say I can't donate more than $2,200 or this or that or whatever to this campaign or that campaign, or I can't put in this much or that. But there's campaign laws restricting me. But these PACs, and these other organizations, they put in millions and millions and millions of dollars, and there's no repercussions. So this Disclose Act would really act to shut down mere mortal organizations, but allow the rich and the very influential organizations who have a bank of attorneys on hand to literally skirt the law and mock it as they do with campaign financing. This is a similar reality. This Disclose Act would shut down guys like you and I and small organizations, but all it would do is give more power and more secrecy and less transparency to the real organizations that put in money and the real movers and shakers who literally pervert our nation and who literally are doing their very best to destroy this country. That's the reality check that we're facing on the Disclose Act, Larry.
This is not the first time something like this has been attempted. Many years ago, there was a law in Alabama that was passed that required the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, to disclose, to publish all of their supporters, all of their members. And the NAACP in Alabama wisely refused to do that. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, where the NAACP was vindicated. And the court said, no, the state of Alabama is completely out of line. These are members of a private organization, and to publish their names might even put some of them in jeopardy. Therefore, they are protected. And now we've got this issue being fought over again, and the answer should be, wait a minute, this has already been decided by the Supreme Court. This is protected information, and we're not going to publish these names because this is already something that's been decided under the United States versus Alabama, Alabama versus the NAACP. And sure enough, that's the way this could and should be handled. Why aren't we talking about this? This is as the liberals like to say, this is truly decided law.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I find fascinating is you got guys like Ron Paul warning us of this. You got Rand Paul warning us of the budget. You've got Lindsey Graham, Donald Trump trying to stand for pro-life. How genuine they are on all these things, only time will tell. But at least they're bringing it up and making it focus points. But none of this resonates in the media. None of this really takes root for we the people to discuss and eventually create a groundswell of mandate and say, you know what? We will be pro-life as a nation. Look, most Americans are against abortion. Most Americans are against late-term abortion for sure. But yet we simply can't move the needle. We need to learn to stand up, but we need to learn to coalesce around our ideas. We need to have our own playbook of ideas and focus points and things to work on, not just continue to be on the defense, or not on these fake issues where they promise something and never deliver. They've been promising to abolish the education department for literally decades in the Republican Party. And now the FBI is in bed with the education department to call your mom, your wife, your sister, your grandma, whoever, who goes down to the school board and says, look, we don't like what's going on in the schools. They're literally doubling down with your government and the FBI to call them terrorists. And what we do is we go, oh, golly, ain't that horrible. But nothing happens. Maybe, because we don't have the ability to carry our points forward, Larry.
One of the graphics that might ought to be considered to rebut this kind of charge is to have a gray-haired lady in a wheelchair. And the caption for her would be right-wing terrorist. We just ridicule what these people
are
saying.
Yeah, and then you'd have an FBI agent armed to the teeth with an IRS buddy to his right, and then be like, friends of the people, protectors of the nation. See, it's insane, folks. But we don't have any ability to move forward our ideas at all, though, no matter how hard we try. Is it money? Is it the lack of interest, apathy from the people? What do you think is the reason, Larry?
Well, I think the Democrats are hoping that this will somehow convince people that what they have to say is important and that they should be given support for their very radical anti-American agenda.
Well, there's no doubt we better do something, folks, because we're losing ground fast and voting Republican ain't getting it done. I can promise you that. Thanks for being alongside. Thank you, Larry. We'll talk soon.
Very good. Thanks, Sam.
Larry Pratt, everybody. I'm Sam Bushman. Listen, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and indeed can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved. You got to make it a great day. And you got to choose the right. You got to stand for something or else you'll fall for everything. We the people can make a difference. Trust in God and do your best and trust in Him for the rest. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.